Okay. So the general expectation for the limit of Hilchos Nida for the year is to basically go through Hilchos Nida, not all Seder Shulchan Aruch, but more topically. We should, Mirtzah Hashem, cover everything that's relevant, but following the way Rabbi Willer used to give Shir at Hilchos Nida years ago, although I think he's changed the order also at different times over the years. But I think it makes sense from a topical perspective not to go Seder Shulchan Aruch, but go topically to start Bigadol with how a woman becomes an Nida and then how a woman gets out of becoming an Nida. So we'll begin after the Hakdamas, the definitions of Nida Zava, and the Tekanis Rebbe and the Chumra Benosi Sol of Reb Zeira. Then we'll talk about Hargasha and Ksamim, some of the ancillary topics related to Dam, like Dam Bashtan and Dam Maka. And then we'll talk about the Tara process leading up to Tevila. And then after that, Harchakos and Vestos. We may shift around a little bit, but that's basically the structure. The expectation for most of the Limud is that you'll be seeing minimally Tor Beis Yosef and going through the relevant sugyas as appropriate, and Mechabrama, Shach, Piskei Tshuva straight. I'll highlight Tazes and other things that I want you to see, but in terms of the minimum would be to see that as we go, and then I'll be sending out Mar Mekomos as well, with what to focus on the related sugyas and other Mar Mekomos that we may cover in Shir and some of the later Svarim, what I want you to take a look at as well, and then you're free to branch out on your own as time allows. In terms of the timing of the chaburas, what we've done in the past is two chaburas a year. Sorry, two chaburas a week. The kol used to be two chaburas a year when I was in it. Two chaburas a week. Generally speaking, going about an hour, but little flexibility if we go a little bit over time as circumstances warrant. My preference, this is what we've done the last number of years, but subject to change if you have a preference otherwise. My preference would be to do chaburas on Monday and Wednesday. Does that work? Moshe, has there been any talk as to when the regular chaburas for the kol are this year?
I assume at the end of Seder. I'm assuming.
Okay, because for years it was at the beginning of Seder. The end of Seder was a relatively recent development.
Okay, I'm assuming they haven't changed since.
So if it hasn't changed, then we'll do the beginning of Seder.
Okay.
So I never want to give the same time as Rosh Hashanah for many reasons. But if the kollel sticks to the end of Seder, then we'll probably start 3 p.m. on Mondays and Wednesdays. Does that work?
Think so.
Okay. It used to be Biyamim Kitikunam for the last good number of years. The chaburas were in Gluck 3:03, so 4 o'clock was a hard stop because there's Minchan there at four. So without that now, we may sometimes go a little bit over, but try not to keep it too much over. My understanding from Rabbi Yaakov Tavis is that for the moment we'll be using either, I forget if you told me, 3:07 or 3:08, which should give you plenty of room to spread out. At least till Sukkot, and then we'll see from there. We'll see from there where we go. Now, officially, the limit is Nida and Avelis, with Avelis after Pesach. But I just at least Meir and Moshe already did Avelis, right? Avraham, did you also? Okay. So what I did last time, because we also have the same situation, most people did Avelis, was I did Nida for the entire year. Which gave more flexibility to spend more time on some of the sugyas that traditionally were overlooked. Like we spent a few weeks more on Vestos than I had previously, and dealt with some of the less lemaisa parts of Hilchos Vestos. That's a long sermon with a lot of talk about, but time didn't allow in the past. So we'll see as we go, but we could do that again this year. I think Meir had mentioned the possibility of doing Machal Yaakov instead. We don't have to decide that now, but we can see as we go on. As long as I have a sense by January time, just to pace myself, what we're going to be doing after Pesach. For the moment, I'm hoping to be in yeshiva on Mondays and Wednesdays. At least in the short term. Now we'll have to see if such things will open up further. But on days that I'm not in yeshiva, and I guess even days that I am in yeshiva, I'm not necessarily going to be sitting around the Beis Medrash. Feel free to reach out either via email or text or call to discuss anything in the sugyas. we probably won't have the luxury of just walking through the base medrash and schmoozing the way things used to be. But definitely feel free to reach out with anything as we progress with the Lima. I forgot to mention in terms of the expectations of what to see. There will be certain parts, I'll say to Shulchan Aruch, which I would recommend just doing quote-unquote Bekiyas. Let's say, for example, we'll soon get to Siman Kuf Tzadi. So Kuf Tzadi is very top-heavy, the first 10 Seifim. And after that, it's a lot less Lemaisa. So there's certain parts of Shulchan Aruch where we're not going to focus much on the Chaburas. And I may tell you, I will tell you, just to dispense with Tur Beis Yosef, if time doesn't allow, just see Mechaberam Shachbitz Ketshuba, and just go through that quickly to see what's there, but without spending time as certain areas are less lemaisa, and time doesn't allow to focus as much. Let's talk a little bit about some of the more contemporary svarim that exist in terms of the classics. So you have most of the classic Rishonim on Maseches Nida. In terms of the broader range of Rishonim, there are a couple collections that exist that put them all together. There is a Kovas Shitas Kamaya Nida, and there's also a two-volume that they have in the Beis Medrash, although I understand if you take it off the shelf, then it'll be quarantined for 3 days ahead, so just be cautious if you use it. But there is a, I think it's called Shita Mekubetzes HaChadash, where they just reprinted all the Rishonim, like the Agur and the Aguda and the Or Zeruah and all those kinds of Rishonim that have in Hilchos Nida, straight from the Svarim. So all appears in the same two volumes, so that that is available as well. But yeah, the classic Rishonim Al Hadaf, from Ban Rash Beritzvah, Meiri. In terms of some of the contemporary Svarim that we'll be referring to, the English Svarim of note, Rabbi Eider's, which was the first English Kitzer Sefer of the modern genre on Hilchos Nida. So that originally was printed in two volumes. It was reprinted more recently in a single volume. So if you buy it in the store now, unless it's a used farm store with farm from years ago, it'll be in one volume. And then more recently, Rabbi Forrest, he has two volumes in Hilchos Nida. So that has become classic as well. I'm not telling you to buy any of these svarim, but we'll be quoting them at some point or many points. They're out there, and everyone has their milos and slightly different approach to things, which are worth it to see within the picture of what we'll call the range of psak and analysis. Among the contemporary Lashon HaKodesh svarim, so you have the Badi Shulchan, which originally Nida and Tefillah are printed in two volumes, which is how I have it, but I think more recently it's now printed in one volume. One of the earlier Kitzur Svarim in Hilchos Nida that Rabbi Willig was very fond of 25 years ago is the Gufei Halachos, which, switch the screen on Zoom so that it appears right side up?
We see it. I see it clearly.
We see it
clearly. Oh, you see it clearly. I see it backwards. Got it. Okay. So Gufei Halachos, Rabbi Willig was a big fan of. Came out before the Badi Yashochan, originally printed in 1979, at least the first volume. It's three volumes. Written by Rabbi Shul Waldhander, Zichrono Livracha, who lived in Williamsburg. He was ideologically to the right of Neturei Karta. And he was put in Chayim for many things over the years. So one of them was for coming out with this Sefer, which originally was referred to as the Mishnah Berurah HaChadash, which got him in a lot of trouble because how dare anyone use the name Mishnah Berurah. So it has the Mishnah Berurah with the Bir Halacha and the Shaar Etzion, no less. So I think he was roundly condemned for publishing under that name, and I guess it's referred to instead as the Gufei Halachos. That being said, I picked it up once at the used farm store for like $4 a volume. I think they have it in the libraries. If you get in early on curbside pickup in the library, you might be able to get it there. One of the other oldest farim that I haven't used as much But Rabbi David Palmer once told me that Rav Schechter told him many years ago that this is the best sefer in Hilchos Nida. So I at least took it out of the library at that point, and then subsequently bought a copy also. Also from Williamsburg, sefer actually Borough Park, probably originally Williamsburg. The Cheskas Tara by Rabbi Cheskel Roth. At the time, he was dying in Satmar. 1974, but now he's the Abdesdin of, I think it's called Karlstadt, and spends half the year in Meiron. That's the Cheskas Tara. So those were a farm that came out in the 70s. Subsequent to that, we have Rav Avadya's three-volume Taras HaBayis. More recently, the Sefer Pre-Tara, which is based on the Psalkim of Rabbi Forsheimer from Lakewood. Very recently, two other Svarim came out, or relatively recently, Rabbi Karp's two-volume Mishmaris HaTara. I've become a big fan of Rabbi Karp's Svarim in general. And Rabbi David Morgenstern, who was one of Rav Eliashiv's triumvirate of Nishamshim in the later years, Rabbi Nachum Eisenstein, Rabbi Efrati, and Rabbi Morgenstern. Rabbi Morgenstern has two volumes on Hilchos Nida, called Piskei Das, with a lot of material from Rav Eliashiv and Shilas that he discussed personally with Rav Eliashiv over the years. He also has a pretty robust analysis of some of the medical issues involved in Hilchos Nida, and with a lot of material referring to medical journals and the like as well. So it's useful for that. In terms of the medical information, Machon Pua, over the last number of years, has been coming out with a Sefer Pua that calls a lot of their material. Pua originally was founded for the purpose of dealing with infertility, but they deal with other issues of Taras and Mishpacha as well. So they have a few volumes. They've come out with three so far. They're expecting to come out with five, with a lot of the psakim that they have gotten on these matters, both three volumes out of Tshuvas Pua, Shut Pua, three volumes out of Sefer Pua. And then you have Rav Avner's Shirei Shevet Halevi, which has become a classic as well. So not recommending that you spend $300 on buying all these farm now, but they're out there, and we'll quote them, and you'll see them at some point. Okay, any questions on technical aspects of the Limud? Okay, so let's just begin with a little hakdama to Hilchos Nida, and then Amir Sasham will begin with the first real shiur on Monday. The Mishnah in Avos, the end of Perek Gimel, has Reb Lazer ben Chisma Omer, Kinen u'Pischei Nida, Hein Hein Gufei Halachos, Tekufos v'Gematrios Parparos l'Chachma. So what's the significance in this context of Kinen and Pischei Nida? Why is that what is dafka highlighted in this broader presentation of Gufei Halachos, and what is meant by Gufei Halachos? And the Iri there just says that the Kinen and Pischei Nida are representative of the breadth of Torah, the last Mesechtas respectively in Seder Kachim and the Seder Taras. And the time is coming to tell us that you have to learn Kol Torah Kula all the way to the end. You can't just pick and choose, cherry pick the sefters. You have to learn everything. And everything takes it to the end of Seder Kachim and the end of Seder Taras. But not that there is anything special about Nida per se, that it gets honorable mention in the context of this Mishnah. The Perisham Yuchas L'Rashi and Ava says that Pischei Nida is a reference to the Mishnah in Erech and Daf Ches. The Mishnah there says that Ein Pesach B'Toa Pachos Mishiva V'lo Yeser Al Yitzai. In a situation where a woman post-vest has a shaila as to our suffix as to how to count whether she's Bimei Ziva, whether she's Bimei Nidus, and she sees Dam. So the Mishnah there tells us in general, and then the Gemara elaborates on all the details, that there's a certain range of days during which, depending on the situation, a woman has to be misupekes as to whether she is Tamea, and she has to account for all those possibilities. So the Lashon there in the Mishnah Erechin of Pesach, Betoa, Pesach is Milashon Tchila, the beginning. that the beginning of a period of nidos in a situation of safek has a range of between 7 days and 17 days. So the Perush Miyuchas Rashi says that if a woman sees dam and she doesn't know whether that's dam nida or dam ziva, then you have to be machmir up to 17 days in order to be yotzei midei safek. So that's the kavanah latana here of piskei nida, specifically that detail in Hilchos Nida that's referred to in the Mishnah Erchin as Pesach Bitoa. Hein gufei alachos, that these things should not be considered kalos beinecha, shouldn't be taken lightly, but rather chamuros hein ma'od. So certain things that are only mitam safek, where, and Keenan also fits into that also, because we're talking about situations where birds get mixed up. That's all topic of Mesechus Keenan, all situations of safek. So you may be inclined to be less careful in how you respond to situations of safek, because after all, it's only a safek. The Talmud says, no, hein gufei alachos, these are chamuros hein mo, these are things that you have to be very cautious about, even though the origin is only mishum safek. So again, according to Rashi, piskei nida is a reference to ein pesach betos, and piskei milashon beginning, sicha. Rabbeinu Yona understands that piskei nida is milashon a pesach, an opening, that you have to be able to be mafkin between different types of dam. There's dam min habayis, dam in aliyah, dam in a proster, and depending on where in the body the dam originates, that could either be dam tahor or dam tamis. You have to be able to be mafkin between mine damim, and that's a reference to piskei nida. The Medrash Shmuel, which is not a Medrash and not on Sefer Shmuel, but one of the earlier Achronim, I believe from Italy, on Pirkei Avos. So he understands that the juxtaposition of Kinin and Piskei Nida is in the contrast. That Kinin is a relatively obscure topic and a situation in which the various Mishnayos and Kinin are Lamaisa would probably tend to be very limited, as opposed to Nida, which is Maisa B'chol Yom, and that is very much the Maisa. So a person may be inclined to focus only on those areas that are Halacha L'Maisa, and not on those areas that are less L'Maisa. And the Tanya says, I know that equally, both Piskei Nida and Kinin are Hein Gufei Halachos, they're both critical to our Talmud Torah, and you can't focus on one at the expense of the other. And Rabbi Wellhander's Hakdama to his Mishnah Berurah Chadash / Gufei Halachos, which he entitled Gufei Halachos dafka because of this Mishnah, so he takes an opposite approach, opposite from the Medrash Shmuel, that no, Piskei Nida also is a reference, as we saw in the Miyuchas Rashi, dafka to that Sugya Erechin Daf Ches, which is a situation of Safek, that is not terribly levaisa either, only a situation of Safek. It's not something that would come up, on a regular basis. And nevertheless, these are equal elements of Talmud Torah, that you have to be as focused on that which is not Lamaisa, even those elements of Hilchos Nida that are not Lamaisa, and that is a chelik of Talmud Torah as well. Okay. There's another element of the limud of Hilchos Nida that emerges from the comments of the Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah, Yisodei Torah, the end of Perek Dalet. So the context of the Kesef Mishnah there is not really relevant to us at the moment. The Rambam there references the Maisa Merkava versus Havayos Dabai Virava as Dvarim Chamum and Dvarim Kalim. But in that context, the Kesef Mishnah has the following line, and let me attempt to share the screen here. The Kesef Mishnah writes, "Vani Omer shall pi derech ze yisbar hadetnan, Rebbe Lezer chisma Omer kinen piskei nida hein gufei alachos lomar sha'af al pi shetkufos gematrios askam dvar meulim shehem had." Garmiyim, Ashamayim, the Kinim Hein Dover Kal Erech. So extolling the value of Skufos and Gematrios, as opposed to Kinim, which are less exciting. Piskei Nida, no sam davar mechuar. Piskei Nida are things that are not usually topics for public discourse, not things that are pleasant to talk about. Ava Pikein, Eluhein, Gufe Alachos, Kolomar, Ikare Torah, Mitzad, Eskara Goda, Let's Offen, Oskamem. Even though there may be reticence on some level to be too involved in the Lima of Hilchos Nida because it's some of the Dabar Mechuar, nevertheless, Scharo Harbe Me'od, because this is part of Talmud Torah as well, and the fact that there are things that are not as pleasant to talk about in public doesn't take away from the need to spend as much time on them as other elements of Talmud Torah. Rabbi Vadya in his Hakdama to the Taras Habayis is very critical of a trend that he flags in Sfardi Psak of being reluctant to engage in topics of Taras HaMishpach in public. And he laments the fact that many Sfardi women in his experience, he references 40 years earlier, he encountered this, that there are many Sfardi women who don't know the basics of Hilchos Nida, that never were told you have to do a Hafsekara, that we're never told that a bedik involves bedikas karinu stakin, and you can't just do a kinuach. There are details that are critical in Hilchos Nida that he said many Sephardi women were not properly educated about, and even the Sephardi men were not aware of, because the rabbanim didn't properly educate their communities about these matters, because it was perceived as a davar mechura, something not to be discussed in public. And Rav Vadya contrasts that with the trend among Ashkenazi poskim that didn't have such a hesitation. He says that the Ashkenazi poskim were more aggressive and appropriate in instructing their balabatim about the relevant halachas. Rav Vadya quotes a medrash in Medrash Rabbah in the end of Parshas Mitzora, where the medrash commenting on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim says as follows. So, pull it up on the screen. Medrash Rabbah, the end of Parshas Mitzora. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim, hey, shecharos ka'orev, black like ravens. So the second chapter in the Medrash is as follows: the Shmuel bar Yitzchak pasar kraya b'parshiyasa shel Torah, afa pi shaniros ke'elu. There are certain things that are somewhat unpleasant, bechuar and black, that you don't want to discuss in public. Kagon hilchazivo negayim nida violedas. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu harehein arevo salai shenamar viavar l'shem in chasidav yishalayim teidu l'chashu kein shrei parsha zav zavol in emru ka'achas. El zubis ne'atzma, zubis ne'atzma. Ish ish ki yazam mibsaro, isha ki yazuzov dama. So that's an interesting perspective. We'll discuss this next time in our real opening shiur. That the parsha of Nida, the parsha of Zav are back to back, or almost back to back, but they're two separate parshas. Why didn't the Torah just include Nida and Zav together? There's a lot of overlap. So the fact that the Torah goes out of its way, the Medrash seems to be saying, to separate Nida and Zav into two separate parshios is to indicate that this is Torah like anything else, and this has to be part of even a public engagement in Talmud Torah. So Rav Vadya highlights this as supporting the need, both in a practical way of making sure that the masses are aware of the details, but in pointing out that this is part of Talmud Torah as any other part of Talmud Torah as well, and there shouldn't be any reticence to engage in it as aggressively as we would with any other element of Talmud Torah. One final note in terms of the perspective on Maseches Nida, there's a comment of the Marsha at the very end. Maseches Nida, some other Maseches ends with the Tana Dvei Elio, Belashon Halachas B'chol Yom. And the Marsha comments that the Gemara is coming lafuke, a perception that a person may have. As we'll discuss in the next couple of Shirim, over time, more cautionary elements were added into the Nida process of Takanas Rebbe and the Min of Minos Yisrael of Reb Zeira. So a person may be under the impression that everything's taken care of, that once you have the Chumra of Reb Zeira, so then we pretty much eliminated any possibility of erring between a Nida and a Zava, and we're home free. So there isn't a need to bother ourselves with learning all the halachas in the Masechta, because Chazal already took care of it for us, and we don't have to worry about all the details. So that's what the Gemara is coming to conclude. I know, Kol Shana Halachas B'Chol Yom, especially in Hilchos Nida, that even after Takanas Rebbe and the Chumra of Yisrael of Reb Zeira, there's still a lot to learn, and there's still a lot of room for error, and you still have to be a bucky in all the details of Hilchos Nida, because many things still do come up, aside from the fact that it is still Talmud Torah. So those are just some introductory perspectives to the limit of Mesechus Nida and Hilchos Nida. And Mirat Hashem, on Monday, we will begin the limud in earnest.